Good morning. Good to see you today. Glad you made it through all the slush and the ice and the snow out there reserved for Sunday morning. We want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with this morning's message. Why do we exist? Why do we exist? You ever wondered that? I'm not talking about us in relation to the universe or as species on this planet or even us as individual persons. All of those are important questions, of course. But what I'm asking today is, why does this church exist? What are we doing here? It's the title of our message today. What are we trying to accomplish? Why are we here on Sunday morning rather than at home or work or school or some other church or at the store? Why do we exist? Have you ever wondered that? GM exists to produce and sell cars. So do Ford and Chrysler and the other automakers. Apple exists to produce and sell computer stuff, Starbucks to sell coffee stuff, McDonald's and Burger King and Taco Bell and Wendy's exist to sell fast food to people. Schools exist to educate people. Hospitals exist to help people get better. Why does Stony Creek Church exist? Well, I can boil it down for you into two words. Stony Creek's two-word story. And if you're taking notes on your outline, and I hope you are, you'll want to know Stony Creek's two-word story. Here it is. Make disciples. Make disciples. In other words, followers of Jesus. People who trust in Jesus. People who love Jesus. And love His people. And obey Jesus so that God is glorified. Everything we do is aimed at this. Every Sunday service, every Bible study, every children's class or small group, every deed to help the needy, every praise song, every cup of coffee served, every piece of equipment we own, whether it's a computer or a musical instrument or a microwave or a vacuum. It's all ultimately aimed at bringing people to Jesus, connecting them with Jesus' people, growing them in Jesus, and training these people to do all that stuff with other people once they get good at it, doing it with others. GM makes cars, Apple makes computers, Wendy's makes burgers, we make disciples. Not that the church is just another business. No, that's not where I'm going. It's certainly much more than that. But according to Jesus, the church does have a job description. And it reads as follows in Matthew chapter 28. Please help me when we come to the yellow print. Jesus himself speaking, the risen Jesus. This is our job description. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In a nutshell, more followers, that's the all nations part, and then better disciples, that is getting them baptized and teaching them to obey everything Jesus taught. In other words, more and better followers of Jesus. How are we doing at making more and better followers? Well, in many ways, we're doing quite well. In surveys we've done, asking you what you think, Stony Creek people report they sense God's love here in a notable way. That's fabulous. That's important. A genuine, very welcoming family atmosphere. People are growing in Christ here at Stony Creek Church. Lives are changing. We just finished a record year in giving. Stony Creek people are very generous. God is blessing us richly. But there are major ways that we can improve. Over the past several years, we have seen a decline in the number of people trusting in Jesus and then getting baptized at Stony Creek. And that's a big concern. It's a big part of why we exist. Also, our Sunday attendance and membership is kind of flat. It's steady, but it's not really growing like we'd like to see it grow. The leaders here take this very seriously because making disciples is what we're about. In 2015, the elder board and the staff here spent many hours studying this, praying about this, discussing it. We learned that Christian churches that are very good at making disciples, in other words, they're winning a lot of people to Jesus and they're doing a great job of teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Churches that are doing that very effectively have one major thing in common. And that is they have made their disciple-making process simple. There's clarity. There's alignment in the activities. There's movement from one step to the next. There's focus. We've decided that Stony Creek Church has to become simpler in order to make disciples more effectively. We need to get on the same page so that we all know what we're doing and where we're going. And so today, I want to map out for you, just as an overview, Stony Creek's four-step simple process for making disciples. You see, we have the banners up here reflecting this four-step process, and it's also on your outline. So you want to follow along. Folks, this is where we are going. This is what we as a church need to do together. So please take this to heart. This is good stuff. We really believe this is from the Lord. The first, and you can see there are four C's down the left side of your program there, your outline. The first C is come to Christ. That's the first step. Come to Christ. Now, as you can see, we've laid out our disciple-making process as a baseball diamond. We can all relate to this. Everybody knows how to play baseball, at least a little bit. This will help us to understand and get on the same page. The idea of the process is to lead Joe or Jane, non-Christian, non-believer, to become a believer, and then to grow in Christ and eventually become a strong, mature Christ follower who's leading other Joe and Jane unbelievers the same way. Now, if we look at it this way, what's the first big milestone that we want to see happen for Joe or Jane? What's first base, the first big milestone? Well, first base is obviously when Joe or Jane comes to Christ. In other words, somewhere between getting up to bat and first base, Joe or Jane is exposed to a Stony Creek Church Christian, a disciple here, who's a loving witness, who is able to give a testimony in one setting or another. And this person, Joe or Jane, is able to meet other Christians through this contact. And here's the gospel message, the message that Jesus died for us on the cross and arose from the dead, that salvation is in Him and Him alone. And perhaps this Stony Creek Church Christian is able to invite and bring Joe or Jane to an 11 o'clock service, where, again, that message is made clear to that person. And let's say if eventually Joe or Jane comes to Christ, becomes a Christ follower. That's first base. It's very simple. The message here is come. Come to Christ. And of course, this is based in Scripture. I love this little text in Revelation toward the very end of the book, chapter 22, verse 17. Look how it reads, and help me out. Notice it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Come. Now, I'd like to show you two important insights on this little text. Notice first who's extending the invitation to come. We'll go back to that passage there for a second. The Spirit and the Bride are extending this invitation. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity. Who's the bride, folks? That's the church. The bride of Christ is the body of Christ, a different metaphor. The church, that's us. The church is inviting people. It's saying, come. And who's it saying it to? It's inviting people who are thirsty for a saving relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit, according to this text, works with us. There's a synergy that goes on. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, works together to extend this invitation to the thirsty world so that people will come. And so our first observation here, our first important insight, is inviting people to come to Christ is a team effort. The Holy Spirit and us. We are not alone in this, folks. We work together. God works through us to extend this invitation. We are empowered by Him. Second important insight on this text is the invitation is to the spiritually thirsty, the seekers, the people in whom God is already working. He's working on people out there that we haven't talked to yet, we haven't witnessed to yet. Or maybe some of your friends or your relatives, they're seeing in you, they're seeing in your life, and they're becoming thirsty for what it is that you have. And they're out there, and we need to extend that invitation to them. Just last week, three young people who were thirsty at our Jesus Freakend came to know the Lord. There was an invitation that was extended, and they trusted in Christ and became Christ followers. On December 20th, at the Bernard's small group, they have a small group that meets at their home on Tuesday evenings. Well, they had a special event, and they showed the movie War Room for about 30 people or so. And an invitation was given, and three people trusted in Christ as a result of that invitation. Three thirsty people came to know the Lord. That's powerful. Now, folks, these events were planned. They were prayed over. They were given a lot of thought, and the Holy Spirit was working with people, on people, through people, to win people to Christ. These conversions didn't happen out of the blue. Christians talked to people. They invited people. And events were planned. And in a few Sundays, we're going to talk more about this point. We're going to spend an entire week on each one of these C's and go into more detail about how each of us can have a part in making each of these events happen, each of these steps, each of these bases. And we'll see that we need to work with the Holy Spirit in order to see people come to Christ through the ministry of Stony Creek Church. But for now, let me share with you briefly what each of us needs to do in order to help people come to Christ. This is just very practical. It's stuff we can all do. Number one, identify two or three non-Christians, non-Christ followers you know. Just identify them. Some people that are in your sphere of influence, maybe in your family, your workplace, your school setting, whatever it might be. Somebody you might sense God is working in this person's life, working on this person, making this person thirsty. Identify two to three people. Secondly, pray for them to come to Christ in 2016. Make that a daily prayer for those people. Three, share Christ's love with that person. Share your testimony. Share the gospel. Look for opportunities. God will give them to you in 2016. Just as you interact with them. And number four, invite them to an 11 o'clock service here at Stony or one of our events where the gospel will be shared. At this service, even though it's directed toward believers so believers can grow in Christ, we always share the gospel so that people can hear that. Now, if we do this, I believe we will see more people come to Jesus in 2016. This is our part. The bride has its part. Will we do this? Can we do this? All right. Okay. Well, let's look at second base of Stony Creek Church's four-step simple process of making disciples, and that is connect with Christian living. Second base. Once Joe or Jane comes to Jesus, our role is to get them connected with the Christian life and other Christians. They need to learn the baby steps. They need to learn how to pray. They need to learn how to read the Bible. They need to get baptized. They need to begin fellowshipping with other believers so that they can grow in Christ. These are just the very basic things. And notice in this passage we're going to look at that the whole church helps make this happen for each believer. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Notice the wording here carefully. It's talking about Christ. It says, from Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, look carefully at this text. The whole body, Paul says, is joined together. It's connected by every supporting ligament. That is, by every person in the church. There's a connection there. And as this connectedness happens, the whole body, individually and corporately, grows. So it's a win-win. It's a win for the individual, and it's a win for the body. Now, Stony Creek does pretty well, I think, in this arena. When we asked you in our survey last year, what is Stony Creek Church's best feature that keeps you coming here, that makes you want to invite your friends? You said that it's relationships and the family atmosphere that we have here. And you also rated Bible teaching highly at Stony. Just thought I'd mention that. No reason, I just thought I'd mention. At Stony Creek, Christians tend to get connected with other believers and to grow spiritually, and they tend to learn the Word of God. Oh, that's important. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard one of you say, this church has transformed my life, it has made such a difference, such a huge impact, I'd be able to make a sizable donation to our building fund, which is becoming more and more important this year, folks. We'll talk about that later. But how can we do better at this? Well, a big key to getting to second base is our small groups ministries and other events we hold here on Wednesday nights. When people come out to a small group or they participate in one of these events like the cafe. We have the Stony Creek Cafe here on Wednesday night, or Awana, or the men's work group, or the women's Bible study, or the youth ministry. They tend to get connected with other believers here at Stony, and they learn the ropes. They get to know other Christians, and guess what? They get to learn the needs of other Christians. Oh, your husband's in the hospital? I didn't know that. Just through their interaction, as they work together, as they sit down and study the Bible together and pray for one another, they learn to study the Bible. They begin coming out to the 9:30 service. Maybe they get an invite. Oh, you got to hear this thing on Genesis we're going through. And they learn to dig deeper. They learn about getting baptized. They say, hey, you know, I need to get baptized. I became a believer. I haven't gotten baptized yet. And they sign up. I've seen this happen for years. It's the body of Christ doing its thing. It's not a formal program. It's just a lot of things happening that help develop connectedness. We already have some great stuff in place to do this. We just need to get more intentional about it, getting ourselves and others involved in these things. And if we do, more people are going to get connected with the life of the church, with the life of Christ. So let's say you pray about and you identify two or three non-Christ followers in 2016. You show them Christ's love. You show them acts of kindness, maybe in your workplace or your school setting. And maybe when you're out for coffee or something, you end up sharing your testimony with that person. Maybe in another venue, you are able to share with them the gospel message and then invite them to the church. And let's say that one of them responds and ends up coming out and coming to Jesus. Well, praise God. But what then? Well, you need to, and we together as a team need to help connect Joe or Jane to the Christian life. Invite Joe or Jane to your small group, or the 9:30 service, or one of our Wednesday night activities, or one of our special events. The body of Christ doing its thing. It really does work. I've seen it for years. This is our part, church. You're already doing a great job. Let's just get more intentional about this. Now, maybe you're a believer sitting here and you're thinking, my goodness, you know, I've come to know Christ and started coming to this church, but I'm not all that connected. Well, why not come out? Here's my invite to you. Get connected. Jump right in. Grow with us. You will find that this is a great, loving body of believers. Not perfect, but there's so much love and so much great going on here. Jump right in and grow with us. Let's talk about third base of Stony Creek Church's four-step simple process of making disciples. And this is commit. Commit. We've got come to Christ. We got connect with Christian living. And this is commit to Christ's body. Now let's go back, as you see up here, the baseball analogy. In a baseball stadium, you have, as we see up here, spectators. Spectators. They're in the stands. In our disciple-making process, those are the people who are our friends and our relatives. They know us. They're watching us. They're at your workplace, the various venues where you rub shoulders with non-believers. They're spectators. But once you begin the process of extending the invitation to come to Christ, even just through giving a testimony, inviting them out to church, whatever it might be, that's when they come onto the field. You see, you're sharing Christ's love with them, you're sharing your testimony, you're sharing the gospel with them, you're inviting them to the church. This could take years, this process, with this person. Or it could happen in a very short time that that person comes to Christ. But between home plate there and first base, you've gotten them into the game, you see. You're working on them. The Holy Spirit is working on that person. However long it takes, praise God. You and we are working together on this. And then one day, Joe or Jane comes to know Jesus. Praise God. He's made it to first base. You and we then invite your friend to get connected in the Christian life. It's all good. They're on second base, but what's next? A lot of Christians get stuck after second base. They're somehow connected, somewhat connected, but now it's time for Joe or Jane to actually become a member of the team. This is a vital step of growth, folks. And you say, well, why is this so important? Well, let's take again another look at that verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Same verse. Let's read it again. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Here's a key part. As each part does its work. This text, look at it, it speaks of a tight connection, a bond, like that of ligaments in a body, all working together. They are formally connected with each other. Each one has its own role to play in helping the whole body. Bodies are often, body parts, have you ever noticed this, are often described as members, right? Your foot, your hand, your legs, members of the body. Each one is connected to the rest, and each one of those parts has a crucial role to play. When an axe murderer does his work, we say he dismembered his victim. It's not a pleasant thought. Don't want to ruin your lunch, but the illustration fits what we're talking about here, a dismembered body. Ugh. It's so gruesome and gross because bodily members are supposed to be joined together. Not just close together, not just on the same table or on the same floor. They're supposed to be sharing the same blood with each other. Vitally connected to the same heartbeat as each other. We see this in New Testament times. Christ followers, they committed themselves not just to Jesus, not just to their own private little love fest with Jesus, but they also committed themselves to Christ's body, to the bride. Today, in our culture, we call this church membership. It's a formal commitment to join the team, to play on the field as a regular, dependable, contributing member. Let's say your friend, Joe or Jane, has come to Christ at Stony Creek Church, has gotten connected. He or she is growing in Christ. What's the next step? And how can we as a church help that happen? What's third base? Well, reaching third base for Joe or Jane includes serving on a Stony Creek Church ministry. Scripture teaches that as a believer, Joe and Jane has the Holy Spirit living within. Every Christ follower has that. And every Christ follower has a gift, a spiritual gift given to serve the body. This is what Scripture teaches. It's given so that Joe or Jane or you or me can help serve the church. This is Jesus' bride. This is his body. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. It says, the evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. It's not just for me to feel good about doing what God has given me to do. That might be part of it. That's a fringe benefit. That's wonderful. But the real purpose of it is to serve the body. And guess what? Serving activates these gifts. It's what unwraps them in our lives. Maybe God has gifted you to work with kids or with teenagers. Whew, sounds scary. Thank God for people like Chris and people in our youth ministry. Maybe he's given you musical talent or administrative ability or accounting abilities. Or maybe you're good at fixing things. Or maybe God has gifted you with loads of mercy and you just love it when you help a needy person. Maybe he's gifted you as a counselor or as a prayer warrior. Maybe he's gifted you with welcoming people. You just have this extroverted personality and you're like a magnet. People just like being around you. Hey, guess what? Every one of these gifts, every one of these kinds of personalities, extroverts, introverts, God needs all of this stuff, or we need all of this stuff here at the church to help the church do its thing. The gifts are given for that purpose, to make more and better followers. A good baseball team, what does it do? It searches out. It looks for the best shortstop or pitcher or first baseman, power hitter, all the members of the team so that the team can be as effective as possible. Well, likewise, the church needs to be effective at making disciples, and we need every member of the team doing his or her thing. At Stony Creek Church, Joe or Jane might join a ministry that doesn't require church membership. There are some positions here, kind of entry-level things that non-members can do. I think that's great. That's wonderful. That's a way for believers to kind of get their feet wet in serving and try out what they're good at. That's great. But before long, Joe or Jane need to make that vital commitment to the church that we see going on in New Testament times. You don't want to be a dismembered member. You know, just a hand separated from the body? Uh-uh. Now, at Stony Creek Church, this involves taking the Explore class and joining Stony Creek Church. And in February, we're going to again offer the Explore class here. We offer it about twice a year. So if you're a non-member and you'd like to join up, many ministries here at Stony Creek Church require church membership because maybe they require a little bit more responsibility and, you know, if we're going to have you work with kids, for example, we need to know something about you and put you through the process, make sure you're going to be teaching the right kinds of things and all that. And so this is important. If we're going to really minister to people effectively, we need to be on the team together. Let's look at the fourth base of Stony Creek Church four-step simple process of making disciples, and that is coach other Christians. This is home plate, folks. Home plate. The desired destination that we have for every believer at Stony Creek Church. Let's say you've seen your friend, Joe or Jane, become a believer at Stony Creek Church, get connected at Stony Creek Church, and you have played an instrumental role in kind of shepherding Joe or Jane from base to base. You've been a close friend to Joe or Jane, and you've led the way. You've kind of showed them the ropes and encouraged them in the ups and downs of Christian living. Guess what that makes you? That makes you a coach. You've been helping that person through the process. Now, you may or may not be a church leader in the formal sense, but God is using you to help others around the base, one way or another. That's coaching. The Apostle Paul calls this fully mature in Christ, Colossians 1:28. Fully mature in Christ. And Paul says, that is my goal for every believer, fully mature in Christ. That's our goal. That's our goal. Coaching is the goal for Joe or Jane as well, to do what you've been doing, the rest of us have been doing, so we can make disciples. Folks, this is a biblical principle. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 2, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Notice what he says. He says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Now notice here, how many generations of Christ followers do we have just in this little verse? We've got four generations. We have first the Apostle Paul. He says, me. And then he's writing to Timothy, who's his apprentice. So that's the you. And then we have the reliable witnesses. That's a third generation. Timothy had passed these things down to them. And then he says, teach them to these people so that they will be able to pass them on to others. We have four generations here. Four generations of Christ followers who have rounded the bases. This is for us, folks. This is the formula. It worked back then, it works today. Many of you are already coaching people around the bases and doing a great job at it. Keep up the good work. This is vital for making disciples, but as a church, we need to get more intentional about this, so it happens even better and even more frequently. Every member and needs to be a coach and help people around the bases. From one base, it might not be the entire process, but maybe you help them get from one base to another. You don't have to be a church leader to do this. But we who are church leaders, we're going to be offering some classes and some mini seminars on how we can do this as church members, how we can mentor people, how we can disciple people. And this is vital. Many years ago, a young man came to Stony Creek Church. He was not a believer at the time. He was just a teenager in the youth ministry. And eventually, through the ministry of Stony Creek Church, after he had been invited by a girl to come, one of the teens in our youth ministry, he ended up coming to church, and somebody else in the church led him to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then he began to get connected with ministry. Eventually, he really began to grow in the Christian life, and he became a member of Stony Creek Church. And one day, someone from another church asked him, why don't you come over here and help us work with our church? I heard about that. So I called up this fellow and I said, hey, I heard that you've, other church is interested in you and seen great things in you. And I want to tell you, I've seen some great things in you too. And if you will stick around here at Stony Creek, I would like to take you under my wing and mentor you. I would like to put my just build my life into your life and see you become a godly Christ follower leader at Stony Creek Church. Well, Chris Bordeaux took me up on that challenge, that offer. And he has, you all know, he has grown and developed, and now he's in church leadership. And what a man he has become, a man of God. See, he had been taken around the bases. A man who, by the way, just finished his Master's of Divinity last month from Liberty University, his master's degree. This is a huge achievement. He worked years on this thing, and we thank God for Chris. Now, this has happened with many people here at Stoney. Chris just happens to be a high-profile case, which leads us to our main idea. Be actively engaged in the disciple-making process. Be actively engaged in the disciple-making process. Where are you on the Stoney Creek Church baseball diamond? Where are you? Since you're here today, you're likely at least out of the stands. You are out of the stands. Maybe somebody invited you. At the very least, you're out of the stands. You're in the game. Have you trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior and become a follower? If not, that's first base for you, entrusting your life to Him. Now, before you start putting your stuff away, we just got another minute here or so, I want to ask you all to identify where you are on this baseball diamond. Are you moving around the bases at a good clip? Or have you gotten stuck somewhere along the way? Well, in 2016, let's all decide together to get unstuck and to help others move around the bases with us. We're going to close our service in just a few moments here. I ask the ushers to get ready with the pouches to pass around for the offering. And the musicians are going to come and lead us in a closing song. And we're going to pray. I want to say, just give a shout out to our friend and our brother in Christ, Larry Zika, sitting right there in the back row. Larry has been restored to us after a long ordeal. He's got a great story to tell. I was giving him a big bear hug between the services, and he and I have been corresponding, and some of you have with him as well. He's got a great story to tell. We're going to get him up here one day soon so he can share that story with you. All right, well, praise God for that. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for making us into disciples of Jesus. I pray for that person here who might not yet be one and knows that, hey, I need to do that. I need to come to Jesus. I need to trust in Him as Lord and Savior. I pray that that person today would come down here after the service and learn about what that means to become a Christ follower and make it to first base. I pray that all of us, myself included, would this year become much more effective at bringing people into the game off of the stands and helping them as the bride with the power of the Holy Spirit to get to first base and then to second base and third base and to home plate, and just to be all of us doing our part together as a church, because we want to bring glory to you, Lord. We want to fulfill the purpose you have given to us as a church. Lord, I just want to commit myself to that and this church, and I pray that all of us now quietly, silently would be committing ourselves to this, to really getting in the game in a serious way. Father, we give you these gifts. We pray that you would use every penny to further your kingdom, Lord. We pray that this would be an act of worship in Jesus' name. Amen.